Well, high school and college students across the nation are right now preparing themselves for engagement with their scheduled opponents. They already know who their competition will be and when they will meet them. For most teams, they have a history of previous contests to give them some clues about how they will have to prepare for the approaching matchup. Some of the preparation will involve equipment, but most of the preparation will involve physical and mental drills repeated over and over again so that they become second nature. Any good coach understands that they have to train their players to respond instantly to the attacks of their opponents, and often those responses need to be in a manner that is otherwise unnatural. Take wrestling, for example. A good wrestler attempts to provoke a natural reaction from his opponent because he knows that such a response will make his opponent more vulnerable to being taken down and scored on. So a good wrestling coach teaches his wrestlers counter moves that reduce their vulnerability and actually sets them up for a scoring move against the initial provocation. But those counter moves are often not natural. So they have to be learned and practiced and practiced and practiced until they become natural to the trained wrestler. Such is true in the Christian life. We are walking along, minding our own business, and out of nowhere we are attacked by one of the devil's henchmen. Everything now depends on our training. Everything depends now on how we have equipped ourselves for that moment. How we respond or don't respond will determine whether we turn the attack into a victory or find ourselves defeated by the enemy of our souls. This is the essence of our scripture text for today from Ephesians 6:10-13. Obeying the commands given will result in victory. Ignoring the commands will result in defeat. Now, before we read this text, I would like to create two special teams. First, a reading team and a listening team. So let's first create the listening team. Everyone who has ever played a competitive sports team sometime in their life, would you please stand? Doesn't matter the sport, as long as you competed against an opponent and had a coach to assist you in the competition. All of you will be our listening team. And why is that? Because as players, you have learned to listen to the coach. You have had practice in doing what the coach asks you to do. You also understand why the coach sometimes raises his voice when speaking to you. You know the coach wants you to do your best and to win. He is committed to your welfare, to your good. He does not urge you to a course of action to see you be defeated. He does so because you would achieve victory and success. Am I correct? Oh, come on. If instead of me standing here speaking, you saw all your former coaches and you just heard them asking the question, am I correct? How would you respond?
Yes.
Good. Listening team, you may be seated. Now we need a reading team. This may take some off of the listening team, but that's all right. For this team, I need all those who have ever coached a sport to stand. Both head coaches and assistant coaches. And again, it doesn't matter what the sport is, just that you coached players who competed against opponents. I see we have some debate about whether there's a coach or not. As coaches, you have knowledge that your players don't yet have, and or you provide leadership and encouragement to your players that they need while they are preparing to compete or during their competition. You are in the unique role of being able to instruct your players so that they will improve and achieve and find success in the sport you are coaching. You have been known to give a talk to your players. Is that right? Thus, I am asking you coaches to play the role of the Apostle Paul as he gives his coach's talk to the Christians in Ephesus. And I want you to speak his words to these players who will be listening when you speak. They know how to listen to a coach. They will hear what you have to say to them. Greeting team, you know who you are. You can sit down. Coaches, as you are previewing the words of the coach Paul, let's have them up. Go ahead. Let's get those. Okay, you can look in your Bible, find that, and then we'll go back to the previous, because I have some words to the players. While the coaches are previewing the words of Coach Paul from Ephesians 6, 10 through 13, I want to give some instructions to the listening team. You're not off that easy, okay? Players, you are about to hear the words of a coach through the voices of several coaches. And I need you to put those words into other words. Words that would make sense to a specific sport. What is the coach saying to you in your words for your sport? Do you understand your assignment, listening team? Do you understand your assignment, listening team? What is the coach saying to you in your words for your sport? At the end of my sermon, I'm going to ask you to give your translation of the coach's words, Coach Paul's words to Christians, as though he were your volleyball coach, or football or baseball coach, or basketball or soccer coach, or whatever sport you play. That's your assignment as the listening team. Now, coaches, are you ready? Will you please stand and speak to your players in the words of Coach Paul from Ephesians 6, 10 through 13. If you need the assistance of the screen above, use it. If you have the Bible open, you can even turn and face some of your players out there. And I've added the word players there just so that you know that they are being addressed. So, coaches, let's together read Ephesians 6, 10 and following. Players, finally, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Put on the full armor of God, so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. Thank you, coaches. You may be seated. Now, for those quick, sharp, alert athletes, I don't want to hold back a player from the listening to him who has already formulated an interpretation of these words. So if one of you players wants to offer what you heard through the filter of a specific sport, what Coach Paul is saying, I'm glad to give you the opportunity right now to say it. Anyone? No one brave enough? Okay, save it for later. I'll ask you again at the end of the sermon. Well, from this text, it's pretty obvious that Paul wants his players to still be standing when the dust settles from the battle. When all the fighting is over, he wants his players to be the winners. And it's clear that Paul has strong opinions about what will create that result. He is so confident in his instructions that in these four verses there are three imperatives, three commands. These are not options. They are must-dos. If you want to be standing when the battle is over, there are three absolute imperatives you must be doing and doing now. The first is in verse 10, when Paul says, "Be strong." The second is in verse 11, when he says, "Put on." And the third is in verse 13, when he says, "Take up." Be strong, put on, and take up. That is Coach Paul's coach's talk in the briefest form. Be strong, put on, take up. Let's look at them one at a time. Be strong. Finally, in verse 10, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. It could be read, become able in the Lord, or be continually strengthened by your relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, hit the weight room. Get strong. Build your muscles. Build your endurance. Fortify your confidence. Translated into the spiritual life of a Christian, it's the consistent practice of spiritual disciplines like Bible reading and meditation, scripture memory and Bible study. It's developing your communication skills with God through prayer. It's the faithful practice of worship in your private sanctuary and with your brothers and sisters in Christ in this sanctuary. It's the practice of teaming up with your larger Christian family to make your Christian team stronger, bolder, and more effective in displaying the glory of God as Christ's body. So, may I ask you, how are you becoming strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might? As Christians, what is your spiritual training routine? How are you getting strong in your relationship with Jesus Christ? How are you taking on the Lord's strength and power? Do you have a plan? Are you working that plan? Are you becoming strong in the Lord and in His mighty power? If you are not, then first, you are not prepared for battle. Second, you are being disobedient to your Lord's commands. It's that simple. Lack of preparation for battle and disobedience to our commander's commands is a sure prescription for defeat. Now, I hope that at least one of those consequences bothers you. I hope it does matter to you if you are not prepared for the battle that Satan is waging against you. I hope it does matter to you if you are being disobedient to the Lord. So please don't let another day go by without implementing a plan to get strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Please, I beg you. You cannot overcome the devil in your own strength and your own power. It is an absolute must that you are feeding on God's Word, reinforcing the discipline of prayer, and developing relationships of encouragement and accountability. Yes, you need your brothers and sisters in Christ to help strengthen you in the Lord. God has given you the body of Christ as a primary resource of strength, encouragement, and exhortation so that you and all of us together would be strong and become dwellings in which God lives by His Spirit. Before you walk out the door this morning, please put it in your schedule for this coming week when you will be strengthening yourself in the Lord, in the Word, in prayer and worship, with the family of God in small groups and in large. Know when these strengthening and conditioning times will be in your schedule. Paul commands all of us, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. The second imperative comes in verse 11. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. The command is put on. It means to clothe with, or to hide in, or envelop in. Now I can imagine that Paul, as he was sitting in his prison cell, chained to a Roman soldier, that he had lots of time to look at the soldier's armor. He may have even thought sometimes that the soldier was hiding in his armor, enveloped by it. Nearly 2 weeks ago now, we attended a national night out event in the nearby neighborhood. One of our guests for the evening was the King County SWAT team. We had the privilege of meeting the lead sniper, Deputy Garnett. He showed us his chest armor. I believe it weighed 44 pounds. Much of the weight was in ammunition. Before he would engage the enemy, he would make sure he had his armor on. This is precisely what Paul is commanding us Christians. We must put on the full armor of God if we are going to have a ghost of a chance to withstand the devil's attacks. We face an enemy at least as powerful as the SWAT team does. The meaning of the full armor is literally all the weapons. We need to be fully armed. We need the complete armor, shield, sword, helmet, breastplate, shoes, gloves, etc. The Greek word Paul uses here for full armor is for a heavily armed soldier carrying the full array of weapons. Any Christian who understands the world for what it is will take heed to Paul's command. In essence, Paul is saying, don't engage the enemy without being clothed with the full armor of God. The problem we have is that our enemy is a constant aggressor. Now at this point, Paul gives his rationale for his first two commands, be strong and put on the full armor, because in verse 12, our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. First, Paul tells us where our struggle is not. He says it's not against flesh and blood. Now, what does he mean by that? I want to suggest that Paul is saying that at the root of our conflicts is the evil one who strategizes to stir up trouble among all peoples. So behind the scenes stands the devil, the father of lies, the accuser of the believers in Christ, the provoker of anger and the instigator of dissension. For surely, we do wrestle with flesh and blood, both our own as well as others who have been taken in by the schemes of the devil. In chapter 4, Paul says, verse 14, then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of men in their deceitful scheming. Is this not struggling against flesh and blood, the cunning and craftiness of men? He goes on in chapter 4, verses 17 and following, so I tell you this, and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do. That in itself is a struggle, to not live as the Gentiles do in the futility of their thinking. They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity with a continual lust for more. You, however, did not come to know Christ that way. Is this not a struggle with flesh and blood? There is indeed a wrestling with flesh and blood. But Paul wants to make it clear that behind all of this sin that we are burdened with is the prince of darkness, the evil one, bent on our destruction. In chapter 5, Paul writes in verses 6 and 7, "Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of such things God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. Therefore, do not be partners with them." And in verse 11, "Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness. Rather, expose them." Paul is saying that in our struggle with flesh and blood, we need to go to the source of the struggle. Someone who has been taken captive by the enemy is not necessarily the enemy. He may have all the appearances of the enemy. He may be spouting off like the enemy, but he is not the enemy. He didn't have on the full armor of God and was defeated and taken over by the enemy. Therefore, if we are going to be effective on the battlefield of this life, we must direct our best efforts fighting off the attacks of the devil with the weapons God has given us. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Paul is not talking about something imaginary here. We are involved in a real war with a real enemy, and he is relentless. Oh, he has his minions. He has his demons. He is organized and has a plan of attack. He is more powerful than man, but he is not God. He does not know everything. He is limited by time and space, but is a master of deception and very effective in taking advantage of our human sin nature. Our only hope against his methods or schemes is to put on the full armor of God. Now, I don't know if we fully understand the implications of this reality. A powerful enemy waging war against all things pertaining to God seems hell-bent to take as many of us with him as possible into the eternal abyss. And there is only one way to stop him. Be strong in the Lord and put on the full armor of God. Do you believe this? If we do, then we will start today, if we aren't already going to the training room, working out, lifting weights, spiritually speaking. The devil isn't sitting in his easy chair waiting for us to tell him we're ready for him. He has no conscience that would prevent him from destroying you during your most vulnerable moments. So starting right now, be strong in the Lord and put on the full armor of God. There's one more imperative that Paul gives. It's in verse 13. "Therefore, put on," or take up, "the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand." The "put on" here in verse 13 is a different word than the "put on" in verse 11. In verse 11, the idea was to envelop yourself in the armor of God. Here, in verse 13, Paul says, "take up," or "take unto you the armor of God." It means to take up as one takes up armor to put it on. It issues a command given with military snap and curtness, a command to be obeyed at once and once for all. Thus, the Christian is to take up and put on the armor of God as a once-for-all act, and keep that armor on during the entire course of his life. Do you sense the urgency in Paul's voice? It is similar to the coach who is telling his guys that they face a formidable foe this coming Friday night. There is no time to relax, no time to sit in the easy chair. The day of battle is at hand. We must be strong now in the Lord. We must be strong in His mighty power now. We must put on the full armor of God now. We cannot let up in our preparations and training. But I fear that we simply do not take this admonition all that seriously. I fear that we think living the Christian life is not a wrestling match, not a war on the battlefield called life, not a call to arms that demands us to be invested with passion and sacrifice. Coach Paul wants us to be winners. He does not want to allow Satan to capture people and make slaves of them for evil purposes. He does not want to see Christians made spiritually impotent in their communities because they don't really think the devil is that much to be concerned about. Oh, church, take up the full armor of God now, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. As I rode my bike over to church Saturday morning, I found mail on the street. It's always a disconcerting thing to see because I suspect right away when I... It's amazing how many times I've seen it. That someone has been messing with someone's mailbox. Especially when you see an envelope from a bank ripped open and who knows how much content's missing. And then I look at the number of mailboxes along the road that have secured themselves. And the one that the mail came from was an unsecured mailbox. And then I wonder if I take those messages seriously. No one's going to take our mail. Well, they already have. Why am I not more vigilant? We don't need to lock up because everything is just fine around here. What about our soul? Are we making it safe, secure, with the armor that God has provided? And I want to ask you if you will activate a plan beginning no later than tomorrow. I mean, let's take this seriously. A plan to make yourself strong in the Lord. And will you commit yourself to clothing yourself with every piece of armor that the Lord has set before you? And will you begin that process no later than tomorrow? All right, listening team, do you have a translation of Paul's coach's talk that is specific to your sport? Anyone willing to be brave, bold, and give us your take on how you would translate Paul's verses 10 through 13 of chapter 6 into a coach's talk to your sport? Do you want candy? You need an example. Here's mine. All wrestlers, you have 3 months to get yourself in top physical shape. Be in the weight room every school day. Find another wrestler to work out with. Review the skills you have and learn some new ones. Go to a wrestling camp or get some personalized training before season begins. Remember, we have some very tough opponents who are already working hard to defeat us and even destroy our morale. But they aren't the issue. It's us. If you equip yourselves as I have outlined, you will be winners. Even your fiercest foes will be defeated. So get on with it today, and you will be standing tomorrow. Any player out there or anyone else who want to venture? I know, it's really putting you on. All right, thank you. Where's that? There you go, sir.
This is for all you soccer players out there. Commitment, practice, listening, and active participation every day. This season you're getting ready to take the fields against opponents that are stronger, bigger, faster, have more tradition, and a longer history than you or anything you've ever seen. But if you work hard, struggle, and practice the plays, study and practice the plays that I've given you, you and your team, all y'all will strive and win these battles. You will be scored on, but you will score on them. Every day, every game will be a test. You do what I say, and you will emerge victorious at the end of this season.
All right. This is not a top, try to top that, just, you know, keep that in mind, but this is good.
Mine was pretty much what you guys have already said, but I would also emphasize to read your manual and get the basics, the fundamentals down before we get started, so you know what you're doing when you get out there.
Yes, yes. Basics. And a good coach always takes his players back to the basics. Never forget the basics. Thank you. You ready to go? Go out and become strong. Be strong in the Lord and His mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, against the spiritual forces of evil, spiritual forces in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on or take up the armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand, and after having done everything. I wanted to talk about that line. After having done everything, to stand. Let's stand for the benediction. Now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to His power that is at work within us, to Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen.